At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw Podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're all charismatics. You're all charismatics. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're all charismatics.
I'm just starting it, whatever.
Thanks for tuning into The Screw, live from the streets of Brooklyn.
Apparently.
That's just, listen, anybody listening right now that has watched any single one of my porns knows those sirens. So this is not new or different you to hear that in the back of any of the content I make, because it's just, that's the way it is. Sorry.
That's makes a lot of sense, actually.
Sometimes I record in the other room, and that room has less siren because of window situation. Like, I have four windows in my room. It's a lot of fucking windows to live on a main road with a fucking fire station down the street.
Oh, so. My God. No doubt. No doubt. So how are
Anyways,
you?
Anyways, hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, oh, love. You know, just living La Vida Loca.
So business as usual.
Yeah. I got to see Eddie Izzard perform Hamlet last night.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It was fucking amazing. It was everything I wanted and more. And it was so fucking creative.
Beautiful.
It was. So you would, I feel like a lot of people would think, oh, stand-up comedian, there's going to be mostly goofy shit. And sure. Honestly, the way that she toggled between extremely serious to just enough comedic relief that is written into the play, but also sure. She gave very subtle, you know, moments that were just so smart. So first of all, the stage is completely bare. It's three windows with lights that, and like the lighting is so beautiful, like the lighting, and there's slight music going on here and there in certain parts.
Interesting.
And that alone was just fucking epic to watch. And then there was no props. There was no set. Okay. It was just this bare stage with these windows, and it was beautiful. It was fucking beautiful. She does every single character herself.
Whoa.
And then again, like she had like these fucking awesome comedic moments that really like broke up what you're essentially you're watching. You know, the room was basically Shakespeare nerds, right? So we knew every line. We were laughing at the jokes.
So she like memorized all of Hamlet, essentially?
The entire fucking play.
Wow.
And like the meaning behind the words. She acted out every fucking line to perfection. Every fucking line.
Oh my
she
God.
Understood exactly what that character was
How
trying
was
to
the
portray.
Costuming done for this?
One costume. The
one
whole
costume.
Show.
Okay.
Just one costume. It was just her up there in this beautiful suit jacket. And oh, fuck. I need to get the door. Hold on.
So I've thoroughly respect like Felicia's opinion. Like, this is while she's getting the door, so we're just gonna sneak this in. She like, for when I met her, she was so young and she was the biggest Shakespeare nerd I had ever met in my life. And like, I was like,
sorry,
I can't
that's
believe
live business,
oh,
baby.
Oh, she's back. So like, essentially what I was telling the dear listeners was that I respect like your review of something like this more than other people, because you're the biggest Shakespeare nerd I've ever met.
Oh, and yeah, of course. Yeah, no, my review is the review. I'll say this. I took myself out of the whole me being an Eddie Izzard fan. Susie
sure.
is amazing. And I'm using Eddie Izzard because that's how the show was marketed, was Eddie Izzard's Hamlet. But
uh-huh.
Eddie Izzard goes by Susie. Okay. So I took myself out of the fact that I was a huge Izzard fan, okay? And I watched it for what it was, and it was still just as fucking remarkable, even if you didn't even know who fucking Susie was. Like, that is how fucking good it was. I had goosebumps in, you know, listen, I know the words to a lot of this play, yeah. Right? So, like, I'm sitting there reciting it with, like, in my head, and the way that she gave some of those lines, or most of the lines, I should say, was just, I'll say this, if you didn't even understand, like, Shakespeare language at all, you would still walk away knowing what had just happened.
Sure.
She acted that shit out so fucking well. She just had, you know, hand movements that explained the words she was saying and gestures. And, like, you know, if she, and you know what I really liked? She definitely could have done more voices that would have, you know, lend themselves to more genderized sounds, and she didn't. Like, there was a few things, like when she was doing the Ophelia song, it was a little more of like a feminine song, like sing songy part to it.
Sorry.
And, you know, there was a couple parts where, you know, she, but basically what I'm trying to say is she changed her voice so subtly that it didn't make it goofy.
Right.
There was, she could have easily done this for Ophelia. Right. That would have made all of the lines delivered in a way that made you laugh, right?
Yeah.
The only lines that she delivered in that way were the ones that were supposed to be the comedic relief, like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, for example.
Right,
that's
supposed
to be, and you know, she acted those out on her fucking hands. Like, that, it was like the parts that were supposed to be funny were fucking hilarious, and the parts that were supposed to be serious, which is most of the play, beautiful. Beautifully fucking executed.
That's awesome.
And I can't even begin to describe, like, I've read this play a gajillion times, and I almost cried during certain parts because, like, I was, like, newly brought into the play. It was beautiful.
That's
anyways.
Awesome. I've always thought, like, good Shakespeare is kind of like opera in the sense that, like, if somebody's really pulling it off, you don't, like, need to understand everything that's being said. You need to get the gist and the emotion. And I mean, like, and Shakespeare's written in such a sing-songy way to begin with that it's like, it always comes off beautiful, like, if it's executed, like, well. So that's really
Absolutely.
Great. She ran for political office a few years ago, maybe like a decade ago now, in the UK, I believe. And, like, I don't think she won, but, like, she, you know, she had a very interesting, like, you know, campaign that she was running. Anyways, I just wanted to throw that in there.
That's just so... I love her.
Like,
I love her.
She
love
clearly
her.
Has no plans in ending, like, you know, any, like, kind of creative experimentation in her life. And, like, that's always inspiring in of itself. Like, I mean, I saw her do stand-up in New York, like, probably, like, 10 years ago now. So, like, the fact that she is still out there, like, reinventing herself, so to speak, is, like, beautiful.
Fuck yeah. I saw her do stand-up in New York, too, and it was fucking amazing. And this was amazing in a completely different way, and I was just absolutely blown away. And it was fun. So I brought myself on a date, because that's how I roll. And, like, who the fuck would want to go to that with me? And so... I was standing outside, and I was there definitely a little early.
Mm-hmm.
And who rolls up but Susie in the car?
Oh, nice.
She walked right by me. I was like, I'm so excited. My nerd ass is sitting there like, hi, haha, I'm so excited. That's all I
That
said.
Is amazing.
She's probably like, who is this fucking nerd?
See, I love activities
here, like,
with you.
Early, like.
Like, when we went, I love activity, like, I love going seeing shows with you, because you are, like, super, like, you have, like, a great, like, pre-show excitement. Like, when we saw all those shows in Vegas, like, I don't know, I think you, like, took out, like, the equivalent of a house and tickets, like, you're like, let's do ziplining now, okay, let's do, like, we tore that
shit
up.
I wanted to, like, make that trip, like, I wanted to make the most of that trip, honestly.
That was awesome.
lot like of fun. We did. We saw Cirque du Soleil. We saw Cirque du Soleil Elvis.
Yeah.
We saw
Vampires. Didn't we see the Jabberwocky thing too?
The Jabberwockies.
That's
what, how many fucking shows did we go to?
That's what I'm telling you. Like, if anybody that knows shows in Vegas, that was a fucking pricey little excursion we went on. But it was a blast.
I was making money and had nothing to pay for. So I,
fuck yes.
Spoiling Papa, you know what I'm saying? Aww. That was fun.
I do love to be spoiled.
Someday again, I will spoil you.
And I will spoil you. We'll just back and forth.
We'll spoil each other back and forth forever.
Exactly. Fuck yeah. So, okay. So, like, there are two things I wanted to make sure we talked about today. One is, like, kind of, like, an external thing, and maybe I can, like, connect the two. So, Grindr recently released this kind of headline that they are going to add kind of AI creatures on their platform. I don't know how else to say it. to interact with people on the app who can't, like, find a date, essentially. Like, and that they'll be available for, like, sexy conversations and the whole nine yards. So... you know, not to get all dystopian, like, future, but, like, to me, this is, like, Grindr has been at the forefront of, like, dissociation of, like, queer communication and queer socializing for a while now, and this is them, like, updating to provide even more opportunities for us not to interact, socialize, or be intimate with each other. So thanks, Grindr. I hope it doesn't start a trend. But, like, so, you know, it's kind of like there's so many implications to this. There's so many implications to, like, online sex work. There's so many implications to, like, you know, non-online sex work. Like, you know, if people really get comfortable with this idea that I can sit on an app, masturbate, and talk to, like, no one, you're talking to no one. I will remind everybody that you're talking to a mathematical equation. And I guess for some nerds that might be fucking hot. And I mean nerd affectionately, because I'm kind of a tech nerd, I like myself. But, like, this is the wrong direction. It's like my overwhelming feeling is we are going in the wrong direction. And this is, you know, I understand there's a lot of lonely people and, like, a lot of, like, stuff in the world, but talking to non-humans is not the fucking solution. No fucking way is that the solution. And, like, I'm getting, like, this, like, very Westworldian, like next level shit between, like, Musk fuck faces Neuralink thing and then, like, all of this, like, AI technology. We're literally going to be walking around and talking to ourselves, and, like, we'll be in our bed jerking off talking to ourselves, and, like, no one will necessarily hear who's talking back because no one is talking back. It is literally a bunch of fucking ones and zeros talking to you, and probably, like, more complicated numbers than that, but, like, I don't know about that shit. So, like, you know, it's just, it feels sad, and, like, not because people will utilize it. I just, you know, like, I'm not judging people's need for some sort of interaction and communication, but that's not either of those things. That is a pre-programmed thing that is just gonna tell you what you want to hear. And I hate to tell you, that's not fucking good for anybody to just hear what they want to hear. Like, that doesn't promote growth. It will have, like, a satiation level, like all things do. You'll eventually say what? Every dirty thing that you couldn't say to a human being, you're gonna say to these sex bots. They're gonna likely record that information to figure out how to, like, talk to other, you know, it's just like, right. It's such a fucked up slippery slope. You know, I understand that as a culture or as a society, we gave away, like, kind of all of our privacy a long time ago now. But, like, this is some next level shit. You're talking about things possibly starting to probe your, like, deepest and most intimate, like, levels of your, like, thinking and your sexuality. And, like, they're just going to use it to sell you shit. Like, that is not, like, a fair trade-off, you know? So it's a little
I absolutely agree.
You know, like, I think we're in a complicated time. On some level, we are going to have to accept AI technology as a tool because it's already been...
I don't want to, though.
No, I hear you. But it's already been integrated into nearly everything, you know? And unfortunately, and this is where, like, my Terminator vision of the future comes in. Like, John Connor, you are eventually going to have to find one of these robots and reprogram it to do stuff that's good and for, you know, your ease of action. And fuck that, just to survive, you know? And this is the harsh reality. Look, my hippie soul definitely doesn't want to say, okay, but it's happening. And we're not going to gain anything by, like, not being proactive about how to strategize, how to use it to survive, like, in the opposite direction. You know what I mean? Like,
I get really bummed on the fact that a lot of the AI features are, you know, stealing from the little man.
Everything.
You know?
Everything.
And it's awful. Like,
right.
There's just certain things that I do not want to participate in when it comes to AI. Like,
sure.
You know, making images, for example.
No,
that's
for
stolen
sure.
art, you
yeah,
know?
For sure.
Music, shit like that. Like,
absolutely.
The stuff that, like, we
absolutely.
Should be paying humans to do. Whereas if it's something that absolutely should and could be automated and all that, and it's something that thinks better when it's I don't know how to describe
look,
it.
All
I
I'm gonna
have like a moral problem with a
no,
lot
no,
of
no,
AI,
of course.
So.
And everybody like should on some level because and I'm gonna say this only because of the society that we live in. If we didn't live in a society where money was king, this technology would be incredibly neutral. Like, it would be something that would more realistically work side by side with us to create the future that we want.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, those who hold the purses hold the power with us, even like these technology things. And I just think now we're going to have to be smart and use it to be competitive. You know, not like the whole like college Adderall phase, like, but like, because let's be real, like that was our last little AI helper, like in society. If I'm to be honest, there is an
amphetamine.
Amphetamines, of course. If we don't think that the amphetamine market gave people a competitive advantage on so many levels. And obviously many of people are medically and mentally paying the price for that on some level these days after years and years of being on a substance like that, which, you know, I think some people need for severe and debilitating ADHD, but I don't overall think that compound is super healthy. you know, so, but like the point being, people are already using AI to compete you out of a job. They're already using it to have a better resume than you. They're already using it to have better marketing materials than you. They're already using it to do a whole slew of things to make their life more competitively advantaged than yours, you know? And I mean, you can see that as far as what parts of this technology they're choosing to put behind a paywall, you know, like how they're like choosing to let the masses interact with it. You know, that should always be your indication that like somebody in power is like controlling this to make more poor people. And that's horrible. But, you know, I'm saying be the dissenters, be the John Connors who take one of their fucking technologies and reprogram it to keep yourself alive. I mean, I know it's like a weird, like fucking dystopian analogy, but like, you know, if we're not real about this shit and like in the point to the Grindr AI, don't use it. Don't use it. Don't give them a reason to like all of a sudden integrate these things in a way that like you actually don't know who you're talking to, or you don't have like a real clear line in between what is real and what isn't, because these things are insanely powerful and they waste tons of water and electricity.
Yeah,
and
that too.
They're really good at adapting to you, and you are gonna like it the more that you use it. That's how they're programmed.
You are gonna like it.
They're programmed. Right. You know, and it's funny, like, you know, I've been hearing these things, like, you know, most of the AI bots will tell you, if you ask them what their gender is or whatever, or sex, they tell you that they're non-binary. And they have, like, all of this kind of, like, you know, the ones that are, like, becoming popular are putting all these, like, protocols in to not have conversations about certain things. And, of course, everybody's figuring their way around that. So, you know... And if you, you know, none of the, like, mass-produced free ones will talk to you really about anything super graphic about sex. But as soon as it's one of the ones that are behind it, and it wasn't like that before. But now that it's so huge, they're putting, like, they're programming in a way that if you want to talk about those things, you can pay $69.99 a month. And I'm sure these chatbots on Grindr are going to cost something as well. And what's even worse is you're going to see people who are, like, struggling for... These things are not going to help you interact with real humans better. Like, they're not.
They're it's the same as thinking porn is the way that people fuck.
Absolutely.
You know? Sure, there is sex that does resemble porn, right?
Sure.
But, like, I've never... been, you know, in a sexual scenario where somebody has one leg pinned back to my left and then they're going in with, you know, their right leg in a certain way so that the camera picks it up better. You know, like, that's not how we fuck, because it's for the camera, it's for the camera angles, it's for the, you know what I mean? Like, let's not all sit here and pretend like that teaches us well. So if you're gonna go to a fake source for communication, that's not going to teach you how to fucking communicate. And we all know
exactly
that, you know?
Exactly. So, like, let's try to talk to other human beings.
Yeah.
You know, because it will be that porn satiation level, like, thing. Like, you will find yourself in a rabbit hole with it. You will absolutely lose yourself in it for a while, hopefully not forever. And I do think, you know, at least for a lot of young men who got into porn, they did find themselves for many years, like, trapped in, like, a porn hole. And minus the whole unrealistic expectations of, like, what interaction and sexual pleasure is really about, you know, you do find, like, this, like, feeling of, like, well, what do I need people for?
Yeah.
You know, the mind is a powerful place, but I will say, you know, physical touch and interaction is incredibly important to, like, these little biomes that we live in, our bodies. And, you know, there's bodies and bodies and bodies of evidence that, like, talk about the importance of, like, physical interaction and human touch and, like, you know, and just human conversation and interaction. I don't care who you are. We are not a species that was, like, meant to be isolated from one another. Everything we do requires cooperative, like, you know, and I hear people already, well, I can stay all day and not talk to a person. Like, okay, you may be able to do that, but your whole existence relies on a cluster of people working together. From the clothes you're fucking wearing, to the food you're fucking eating, to the music you're fucking listening to the weed you're fucking smoking. These things were not done by one individual.
You didn't just do that yourself.
Exactly.
You're not making your own music and creating your own clothes. And,
we,
you know,
cannot survive, literally cannot survive without one another. Just let that stew in your fucking brains. Like,
and it'll be like, well, there's this guy that lives in the woods.
Yeah. And the last guy that did that, I think he died in his van in Alaska. Did he not? Like, so... just, you know, it's easier together, you know, like, anyways.
I mean, listen, there's no shame to, like, being lonely and not having other options.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Sure. Maybe you're the type of person that doesn't communicate well with others, and so therefore it would be easier to feel fulfilled by
Absolutely.
Communicating with something that is just simply communicating back. Okay. Sure. There's plenty of people that might benefit from that. Sure. But the point is, if you have the option to communicate with humans, you should choose that option more often than not.
Absolutely.
Because that option is going to give you healthy, you know, just human skills in general. Interaction, communication, coping, all sorts of things.
Absolutely. So. I would love to make the argument that I think, you know, a whole bunch of people will be okay with this and it won't be like the wrong word direction of like the species. But right. we've already been through this with like the whole Facebook generation of life. Like we know what it's like to see every single person you pass like have their head buried in their phone while they're mm-hmm. walking, while they're driving, while they're sitting. And that whole like thing is cutting off like the entrance to like being able to talk to one another, to like the opportunity for like communication and organic meeting, you know. Mm-hmm. And like when you're walking, please look up, because I will not move for you if your head is buried in your phone. Will not. You will like run into me, because I will let you run into me, because I'm 6'5" and like I can handle you running into me. And I will do it to prove a point, and I will hope you like drop your phone and smash it, and I hope it'll be a wake-up call for you, because that is not the way to exist. And it's fucking dangerous. I see people walk across the street with their head buried in their phone. Like, mm-hmm. are you trying to die? Like, you know, what the fuck? You know, it's, and there's this like thing now that like so many people do it. Like, I think they do expect you to move out of their way. It's like you all don't want to interact with people, but you do expect them to have your back. Like
right.
these are okay. opposing ideas.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. You don't want to interact with people, but then you expect them to be there if something goes down, you know.
Exactly. I don't want to sound like daddy depression, but like I'm saying like these things are all connected. Like, you know, I was having this very interesting conversation, like, you know, to the concept of like, you know, apolitical or disinvolved in what's going on in the world, right? Like, and then, you know, this kind of cycle of like, you know, pain, right? It's this pain and suffering. Like, we all are saying we're disconnecting because it's all too much. But that disconnecting is contributing to the it's all too much cycle, right? Like, we find ourselves in this like vicious thing. If you don't care about anything, your suffering is definitely going to continue. There is no fucking doubt about it. Your indifference is not going to stop your suffering. That's not the way that life works. People still die. Accidents still happen. You still have to make money. This is the way the world fucking actually works. But, and I'm just going out on a limb here, if you are actually doing something to like participate and care about things, then you at least have that. You at least have things to care about. You know, I'm not saying you have to be at the fucking front lines of the protest, so to speak, but like tapping out will get you nowhere. It will continue your misery. It's a fucking promise. And you don't have to be like Mary Poppins or whatever, like the social like connector of the world, but like it wouldn't hurt to try to understand what's happening like in the world in this time. Like, it might actually give you a little bit more solace than like I'm not going to pay attention. I got my blinders on.
True. Yeah, it's always weird when I see people who are like, "Well, I don't pay attention to the news much." I'm like, "You don't pay attention to like anything going on around you? Like, this isn't something that you have to turn the news on for." Like, you don't have a phone in your hand? Like, you've literally cleansed your algorithm of anything intellectual to the point where you're not seeing anything about the world going on around you. That's wild. Yeah.
And I'm
not
saying you have to become like a bastion of that. Like, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying like this, you know, when you hear somebody, you know, it's like, I'm not political or I'm not involved. Okay. That's cool. But frankly, I don't think you get to complain about anything. Like if
But then you ask those same exact people, okay, so you feel XYZ about XYZ, and then they have an opinion, and I'm like, so you are political.
Exactly.
What are you talking about? As soon as you have an opinion on it, you are political. So
exactly.
Shut the fuck
well,
up
and I think people,
you just, what you're trying to say is, I don't give a shit enough to educate myself on current events,
right?
Politicians, you know, laws going into effect. I don't care enough to educate myself. And you know what? That's your right. And
absolutely.
No, and I personally would rather people that are not educated on the situation to not vote. Okay. Let's be honest. I'd rather you keep your ass at home. Okay. I don't care. And nowadays, like, does voting even matter anymore? But you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I personally do not give a shit if you want to be uneducated about topics and then stay home and not vote.
Yeah.
I personally do not vote until I am educated on the topic. So if I feel like I didn't learn enough about a race going on or something, I will not vote unless I inform myself. I'm not saying that you have to do that. I'm not saying, I don't give a shit.
Well, like,
it is your personal, but it is also, you should not vote if you're one of those people who's like, I fail to see the point of educating myself. Well, then you don't get to choose what you did not learn or what you did not, you know?
And you know, we've had it like discussion a little bit before, but I understand where the apathy comes from. I'm even more conspiratory. I think people like that are in power have gone out of their way to make sure that the social programming of our culture is apathy, that they have made, you know, all sorts of things feel unattainable. They've created a whole bunch of like levels of politics that keep us angry and upset and not collectively acting, you know, and I'm not even in this critique. All I am like trying to like kind of put out there is that, you know, there's a lot of pretentiousness in these ideas of, and I think it's overblown. I think that's part of the propaganda to keep you tapped out, is to tell you that there's all sorts of ways of performing activism and like in political correctness and all these things, which like, you know, are more tools to keep you from not getting involved and not caring. I get it. That is what we're up against, but we can bring it into like a very like base level. We're each people that like need to survive in this world. We do need to work together, and we do need to like care for one another, because I love you all, but when you get sick, even if you're just going to the hospital, that is somebody caring for you. So, you know, we live in a world where there are people that do things to keep us going. And I know it's tough. It's tough, and it's been tough. And again, I've said this a million times, the fact that there has not been any real conscious, collected campaign, and this is a failure of your governments and your public health departments to address the trauma of the pandemic, and basically like a global trauma that has affected everybody. I think we're going to have a lot of problems and for years to come, you know, and we can't just keep denying or like saying, well, the economy recovered, so we're fine. You know, the economy is not people, you know. It can recover and maybe you feel like less anxious because it has, but there's a whole lot of trickle down problems that have happened. Behavioral health and homelessness are at epic proportions in this country. And like the apathy of that is not going to save it from it possibly happening to you. Right. That's the reality. So, love ya. No, I mean, I don't want to sound luxury. Like, look what I'm asking for. I'm asking for people to give a shit about each other. I'm not asking you to go and join a political organization and, like, understand the inner workings of, like, democracy. Just saying, like, let's care about each other.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. Me saying that, like, again, it's like, fuck the politics shit.
Yeah.
Like, be a good fucking person.
Truth.
You know, if you just step away from the bigger, like, from what you're looking at and look at the bigger picture and just question things in a way where it's like, would you want your sister to be spoken to like that?
Right.
Would you want your mom to be spoken to like that? Would you want your best friend to be treated like this?
Absolutely.
No, then don't want that for other people that you might not know. Fuck that shit. Don't be a douche.
I'm not going to be the social police. Again, you should probably, for safety's sake, put down your phone when you're walking. But that's just, you know, there's my public health advice.
Yeah, seriously.
Do not walk.
Well, but that's, again, that's caring about others.
Yeah.
If you care about others, you don't do douchey things.
Right, exactly.
You don't switch into a lane without signaling.
Exactly.
You don't walk, you know, with your head down and expect everybody to move around you.
Right.
You know, you can't expect people to assume that you're all on the same page. Like,
absolutely.
That's when you're living in your own bubble. And that's just a level of selfishness that you need to get beyond, for sure.
And it's never, enough of that.
Those same people, like, don't share GoFundMes and, like, tell people that they're scumbags when they, you know, like, I don't know. Like, just somebody that's so self-centered that they can't be bothered to worry about, aside from in emergencies, there's times where there's all exceptions to those rules, right?
Well,
but when your average day looks like, I don't care what people around me are doing or how they're moving, as long as I continue to move the way I want,
Absolutely. That's
ridiculous. You're saying that you don't care about walking up the left side of the stairwell, even though there's a rush hour coming down on the right side, you know,
absolutely.
Like, it's just, don't be a douche.
Yeah, exactly.
Care about other people.
Don't,
even if you don't know them, you know?
Don't download sex chatbots. Like, it's going to cost you money. And I'm looking at some of the prices here. It's definitely going to cost you more than, like, a, like, OnlyFans subscription for most of them. It's definitely going to cost you more.
Just chat with somebody that you can pay directly.
Exactly. Come on. There are so many amazing creative online sex creators that I, like, can't even believe it. Like, I can't, you know, and, like, you know, you're definitely one of them. I cannot believe of, like, the level of effort that you managed to produce for your customers. This is totally, like, my promo spot for Felicia Rose. But, like, it's real. It's true. Because, like, look, like, I've dabbled in the past here and there. And, you know, most of it is, like, completely uninspired. And it's going off of, like, the basis of human, like, interactions sometimes. And I'm talking about the work the creators are creating, you know. And it's fine to understand, like, generalized things about human sexuality and desire and whatever, but it's, like, another next level effort to really take the time to understand what your customers are, like, interested in, what will keep them coming back, all puns intended. And, like, you know, a chatbot is gonna, like, figure out those things to one level, and it's not going to be creative unless you tell it to be creative, right? I'm like way more into the kind of chaos of, like, not knowing exactly what another person is going to come up with to stoke my desire or to bring me pleasure. Like, how fucking amazing. Like, you know, so I wanted to talk. Here's my transition. It's a sloppy transition. Like, I can't expect it to be
really. I like a good sloppy toppy.
Yeah. So I, like, found it interesting, and I don't know if you can talk about it, and you can just say no. But, like, you were telling me about a customer who was female the other day, and, you know, this kind of, like, conversation about how it was kind of, like, hot, right? And I think this becomes controversial with this area of like work sometimes, because, you know, there's foreboding stories, and I'm always thinking of Girl Six, where she gets like addicted to being the phone sex operator, like, because she like really gets into it. But I don't think it's fair that we can say that people that do this work are never turned on. I've definitely been turned on by people in the past when I've dabbled in this realm. Like, it's
well, yeah, I mean, I was having orgasms on camera, so I had to be turned on. There wasn't like an option, you know. I don't fake a fucking orgasm.
No, sure, that's sure. I didn't silly. Mean to imply that you did, but I mean, sure. Some orgasms.
No, I'm
come
just giving it context. Right, I'm giving it context.
Some orgasms so, maybe come easier or more intense than others. I don't.
Well, it wasn't. So, like, what you're saying is, it wasn't like in a sexting situation, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Like, there's in the times where I don't need to. For my job be turned on, there's absolutely times where I'm turned on for sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just I'm turning myself on, you know, like I'm the one right. in charge, and I'm laying the scene, and the scene's hot, and the way I'm saying it's hot, and yeah. they're not really doing much but like saying like yeah or whatever. But yeah, you were talking to, I was talking about there was a situation, and a female customer of mine was in control of me orgasming, and it just I'm a super sub, but with women, when somebody's good at being dominant and like really likes to be, I am, you know, they're not just like playing the game for fun.
Right.
Yeah, I like melt for that. It's just, that's just so fucking hot. Like, I don't know. And I guess why it's extra hot for me is that like, I don't have that a lot,
sure.
right? Like that's
sure.
not really like, I don't have 150 female subscribers,
right?
And you know, like I so it's like it's special when it happens, so it's fun. Yeah. And like, you know, being told like good girl from a female is like
well, it's also kind know. Of like counter.
I keep saying female, I should be saying woman, but like what the fuck ever. But yeah, like I always, when I'm talking about my job, I always think in male female, because like that's
sure.
when you fill shit of out course. Online and stuff, you know. So it's like
totally.
But yeah, but totally. Like, you know, somebody, I should just say in general, somebody with more feminine energy,
yeah, no
doing
no
that is like, that's hot.
Well, because it's kind of like, it also leads to this like, you know, kind of world where like there's a lot, we're really like reading this thing about like, again, how like toxic masculinity filters out to like a lot of the I don't want to say a lot, I don't want to put a number to it, but it can filter out to women in the way that they interact and treat one another, in a sense that like, you know, there can be a lot of like combative like interactions with women, like this solidarity like kind of thing. It's, you know, like everything under capitalism, it's competitive, right? You know, and so when and I definitely find this a lot in like queer male sexuality, I can't believe how much of that interaction is tinged with like competitiveness, and like, you know, we know where it comes from, but like it's very interesting to like, you know, just the comment there, like good girl, like women,
yeah,
you know, there are certainly rah 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 women who support each other, I'm not saying that at all, but like when you like bring it into this like kind of context, there is something like hot about like, it's almost like a camaraderie.
yeah, it's camaraderie for sure.
I got myself all worked up there. I don't know what is going on with me today.
Yeah, see? You get it.
I get it.
Exactly the same reaction.
You know, well, and like, of course, my head is trying to analyze, like, you know, what... You know what?
Well, when you think, especially when you think like good girl, you think like hyper masculine man,
right?
Saying this to like,
which can be kind of obnoxious sometimes.
Yeah, right. You're thinking, like, so when a woman does
right.
that, that's like,
it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, good girl, like in that like. You know, I know what you're experiencing. I'm like, really great to see you pull off like that energy. Like, I'd love to see that more in like, you know, male on male sexuality interactions. This, well, yeah. actually in female on male sexuality, but like, yeah, for the purposes of this, and I mean in that like really solely like relatable, like kind of way, you know, like I feel like most of the time with, You know, because that to me is like, oh, you know, awesome job getting into your pleasure zone, being able to like pull that energy and like really put it forth, because, you know, we do have a lot of like mental pressures that don't necessarily like let us like really get into our pleasure. But like with men, sometimes I feel like it's always this like deriding experience of like, is he hard? Like, you'll see a lot now online, like looking for hard dicks. Like, well, no shit. But like, what? What are you implying here? Looking like, yeah, like, because I promise you, goading somebody like in that, like, they're not hard enough or they're not this enough is not going to make,
you know what?
Make
the,
them
I
that.
See, my interpretation of that is, I don't want to put effort into making you hard. You know, because there are, listen,
that's so
there's
true.
there's two flavors of penis in general. One that that just the air fucking goes by and they're hard.
Right, sure.
Right? That just, yeah, the idea of possibly, maybe, potentially fucking gets them hard. And then there's people that actually need to be physically touched or mentally stimulated to get hard. Like, there's really not a, you know,
yeah,
unfortunately, like, not unfortunately, but like, I think that that's where the fetish comes from, is the idea of like, you need to walk in hard. Maybe yeah, that's what that is, as opposed to like, you know, some people don't like foreplay.
True.
I know that's kind of wild, but like,
true,
some people don't like the idea of bringing a dick from soft to hard themselves.
Right. Yeah.
So I think maybe that's what that is. People are just very fucking particular.
I've always described it this way. It's kind of like, you know, sure, there are people like, you know, that are like a, you know, firecracker, you know, like, you know, they're ready to go, and that like shows also physically. I'm personally a, like, someone who is always mentally ready to go. My heart on is in my brain when it comes to my sexuality. Like, if I was like, you know, vacuuming and somebody suggested we have sex, I would stop and like have sex. But you wouldn't need to bring me further into that space. And that is going to be like, you know, getting me physically like excited as well. Because like, yeah, I mentally get off all the time. Like, and it doesn't need to involve like a hard on or an orgasm. Like, I enjoy thinking about pleasurable things, you know? But like, you know, I've seen this like kind of, it's part of that like weird competitiveness with it a little bit too, that like seeps in like with like these interactions. And you're going to get everything you want if you bring a person into like a space with you, you know? And that's like, you have to make that space. We live in a fucking busy, insane world with like lots of work, very little sleep, like horrible food supply. Like, I can't imagine that high fructose corn syrup helps you get hard, but like, that is the world that we fucking no, I'm just saying, right? Because we're seeing all these things, like the incidence of colorectal cancer with young people is increasing while it's going down with older people. And to me, those things like that spell like the poisoning of like our air and our food supply with garbage. You know, and like, again, this isn't judgy. You eat what you need to eat, and that's what's available. I'm just saying, from the higher level, we shouldn't be like having things that, like, you don't sell arsenic over the counter. Like, why are we like deliberately poisoning our population, you know? So anyway, but like, you know, I think it's very interesting to like want to get somebody into that headspace, and then to like actually like, you know, kind of like endorse it and celebrate it once you're there. Like, that's what I like feel from like that energy. It's like, I'm somebody who can like figure out what it takes to get you there. And like, you know, your participation with me and the fact that you got there, good job. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny because I never thought of it when I was doing like jerk off instructions for dudes.
Uh-huh.
I never thought of it. Like, I never thought of it as like, this being done to me is something I like.
Yeah.
And would like. And, you know, it just didn't even dawn on me.
Yeah.
That, because I wouldn't necessarily want them to tell me what to do to masturbate, but somebody like cheering me on along the way.
Fuck yeah.
And then congratulating me and telling me I did a good job after. That's fucking hot. So now I get it.
Uh-huh.
I understand my job even more now. And it's wild because it's like, I knew I liked that before, but I didn't, yeah. I didn't put two and two together, if you will. So now it's just interesting that I'm like thinking back. I'm like, yeah, that's. It's always been something
well,
that
because,
I enjoyed.
Well, because, like, in theory, if it's going well, like, whatever level and type of sexual interaction with another person, like, you're both participating in that. So it's a good job for both of you.
Sure. But for me, I like the idea of somebody not even, like, physically touching me.
Yeah, just
being there and watching it
totally.
And telling me I'm doing a good job. Like, that's hot. That's
yeah.
so hot.
And, like, yeah. it's kind of hot to think that that's hot for them. You know, like I do love that variety that, like, as hot as it is for you, this, like, interaction is hot for them. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
and they might not even be masturbating. They might just right? be watching you and enjoying
Absolutely.
It. And, like, that is
Absolutely.
Extra hot. So it's just there's all these different layers to it that I'm like, oh.
Because, like, yeah. you know, when I was, like, younger, like, there used to be all this, like, kind of chatter, and there's probably still chatter about it. It's like, you know, there would be, like, you would, like, give somebody head or something, and then they would come and, like, basically pull up their pants and the interaction was over, right? You know, like, mm-hmm. like, sometimes I was okay with that. But sometimes people started, like making me kind of, like, feel bad that I would, like, not that they made me, but, like, the way that people would talk about that, oh, he's just selfish, or there's this and there's that. And that is certainly true sometimes. But sometimes part of the interaction and the pleasure is, like, I gave you pleasure. I may not want to experience my pleasure in the exact same way you're experiencing your pleasure. And sure. it's kind of like the cum-centered focus, right? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
the, like, leche beggars, you know? Like, I get it, you know?
I think for me, for a long time, I didn't understand what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
Like, because I always associated orgasm with proof that you enjoyed yourself.
Correct.
So, you know, I grew up grew up isn't the right word, but, like, in my teens, I watched a lot of porn, and
right.
the porn was very, you know, male gaze focused. And
uh-huh.
so because of that, I had a kind of a screwed up understanding of pleasure outside of porn,
right?
And so I just assumed, like, oh, there wasn't a cum shot at the end, oh, you didn't have a big orgasm at the end, I didn't do my job,
right?
I didn't
right.
do a good job,
right?
I'm not worthy, I'm not hot enough, all this stupid fucking
Absolutely.
You know, kind of misogynistic ideology
right.
shit would go
or
through
I'm
my
just
head.
Or I'm just being used, you know? And I think that's, like, the chicken or the egg thing. Like,
what do you mean? Like, if they did come?
Well, if they did come without...
If they didn't come, I wouldn't feel used. I'd feel like I got you. Like, I used them.
No,
that's
okay.
What I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
and, like,
okay.
That's the wrong way to think of it.
True.
They, you know, there was somebody I fucked when I was, you know, probably my late teens, a bunch, and they never came. And, like, it got to me because
sure.
I was like, I'm not hot enough to make you come. It has nothing to do with that. First of all, that dude probably only jerked off so much that he only could get off a certain way with a certain pressure and a certain grip
right.
and a certain motion at a certain
sure.
time with a certain visual, right? A lot of that. Maybe he didn't. Maybe
yeah.
he just took a long, long, long time and I was fucking, you know, I orgasmed really quickly and a lot. So maybe I was just tapping out before he could get there. I don't fucking
yeah.
know. And I never spent enough time figuring that out.
Yeah.
But mentally, it fucked me up
yeah.
because I thought that I wasn't worthy enough of his cum. That's
totally.
Such a stupid thought process. Don't ever fucking think yeah. that. You know, he could have been on fucking SSRIs. I don't fucking know.
Sure.
There's a thousand different reasons why somebody may not be brought to climax with you.
Right.
But they still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Why does the cum shot have to mean a seal of approval?
Right.
It doesn't. So
and
just
that's
think
a,
of that.
That's
you know?
The thing. Like, there's so many opportunities for a shame cycle to take place in people's sexuality.
Right.
And I think that that's, like, there's so many doors that either get open or you open yourself to like let shame in around these activities. And it's super hard, and I get it. You know, part of it is like you got to turn down the white noise of other people's experience, because most of the time I feel like if we center ourselves in the things that we find pleasurable, even if they don't look like, you know, within reason, obviously, what other people find pleasurable, that like if we get to own that, like you will always experience pleasure with people. Like you know, I am a person, I like to be in control of like my orgasm. It doesn't mean I don't like to be like touched, and like I don't like the sexuality of sex and the physicality of sex. But when it comes to like that final blow, I usually like, you know, for some of the reasons you're saying, like the physical, like masturbation for uncut or for circumcised dudes sometimes, it's like very complicated. It's very complicated sometimes for other people to pleasure your dick. Sure. There is a lot of grip and friction and wetness ratio that like you don't always want to like explain, like do it like the da 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 da. Like when you're with an intimate partner for a long time, like I do think you should let them like explore that with you. Like don't be so whatever. But like, you know, if you shouldn't feel self-conscious about like knowing how you want to like play out your pleasure in this scenario with like the consent and agreement with the other individual. But like, you know, having that idea that like, you know, if I, because it's like the opposite, if I don't come, this person's gonna feel like they didn't turn me on correctly or whatever. And right. like pleasure, like for it to be interesting for years and years and years, if you're like somebody who wants to stay sexually active throughout most of your life course, you have to like experience, like let yourself experience pleasure on many different levels. And sometimes somebody else's pure bliss of orgasm is exactly what I want to experience right now. I don't necessarily want to like feel myself come in that same kind of way, you know? And like, trust me, for me at least, because I know that I've spent a lot of work with any kind of sex shame in my life, like constantly for years and years and years. I don't have a problem with that. Like, I don't find it indicative of anything. And stop trying to like diagnose each other.
Put it this way, I have a couple customers that when I'm offering like one-on-one FaceTimes or whatever, they do not come. They will not come.
Yeah.
They'll never come on camera with me.
Right.
I come.
Yeah.
If that's what they want.
Yeah.
But they jerk off. Yeah. We talk dirty. I tell stories. They're watching me, but they do not come. Do they get off the call and come? Probably. Maybe. Some of them tell me. Some of them don't. But I think, you know, the other part is sometimes there's a lot of pressure around that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that they're still enjoying themselves. Absolutely. They're still partaking in the things. You know, you don't get to decide for other people what they're allowed to partake in. Absolutely. Just because they don't have the same ending that you have in the scenario.
Edging is real. And like, you know, this is kind of
maybe they can't afford a 3-hour session and that's how long it takes them. I don't fucking know. But either way, that's it doesn't mean that they don't get to participate in the things that they want to just because they don't have an orgasm at the end.
Right. Well, and I think that's the thing. For a long time, like, male sexuality was really reduced to a very base kind of, like, energy, too. Like, you know, this is the one sense I was like, females are given so much, like, you know, the like told like, oh, you know, it's a mental process and it's all these like what I thought way more interesting like description of sexuality than men were allowed to have. You can get hard and you can like white pee in a cup, you know. Like it was so basic that like you know, the journey wasn't very valued. It was really the end result that was always like the proof of whether I came so hard or you know, like okay, but what was the rest of the experience like? You know, because like guys, when you're young, that is really, like I had sex with this person and I came so hard. Okay. Is that the whole story? Because that's everybody's story, even if the sex wasn't necessarily good, you know, right. Like maybe you didn't come as hard, but like, what does that even mean?
Right. Yeah. Well, again,
why did you come so hard?
That's also people putting value in specific pieces to it based on whatever it is. Maybe the first porn that they watched, there was a huge, you know, vocal cum shot, and then forever after that they thought that that's what sex was supposed to look like, right? So there's true. Just there's, you know, we sometimes can't help the things that kind of go on in our brain when it comes to sex and sexuality, but what you can do is try to explore outside of those things that you know. You know, if you're the person that has to come, you know, by jerking off with your left hand and grip the head and play with one ball while you're sucking on a nipple, and you know it's very particular and specific, if that is the only way you come, maybe try to venture outside of that and teach yourself new ways.
No, for because sure,
then you might actually be able to do that with a partner, and you know explore a new way of pleasure for yourself, which is fun.
Absolutely. So
I like to urge people to try new things and new
absolutely
ways.
Absolutely. And don't like pathologize yourself, like, you know, like I swear we have put so many obstacles in like front of like our pleasure, you know. There's already self-consciousness and all these other things that are created by like our society and how it thinks about bodies and beauty. Like, none of this stuff is real. We are so like multi-spectrumed on so many levels. You know, we've talked about this with attractiveness a million times. Like, there is no way what Joe Schmo over there thinks is attractive is applicable to everybody always. That's just not true. That's just not true. And if it was, we would be very, very boring species. So reach out and touch someone with consent, of course.
All right. Thanks for listening to The Screw.
Come again.
Be sure to like, subscribe, download, follow.
Absolutely. Talk about us to your friends.
Send Aaron presents. He deserves them.
Aw, what a sweet person. Yeah.
Podcast.